Good evening. I declare the General Council meeting open. We begin by acknowledging the Kaurna people, the traditional custodians of this land. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present. I let everyone know that the audio of the General Council meeting will be recorded, other than confidential items, and it will be made available on the City of Marion website in due course. And of course, we're streaming at the moment. We have one elected member off-site, I believe, and there may be more coming later. I ask elected members if they foresee any possible conflict of interest in respect to any item on the agenda. No. Then after someone to move confirmation of the minutes of the last General Council meeting, moved Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Duncan, thank you. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried. You, Councillor Masika, did you vote and can you hear us? He's not frozen, he's just like that. But we do need to make sure that all members are able to hear us. Is it meant to be that mute symbol is on? Oh yeah, that's it. Yeah. Oh yeah, he is indicating that he can't hear us. I do note that there's a mute sign on, but I. Okay, so can someone staff member please? We can hear Councillor Masika. Can you hear us? No, he can't. So on his end, he may need to unmute his device. I've devoted the first half hour of the meeting to confirmation of the minutes of the previous meeting. So.
Hello.
Hi, it's Mark
Bowden,
the
IT Operations. How are you?
Can you hear us, Councillor Masika? Can you hear us?
Are you having problems hearing us?
Yes, I can't hear you at all.
Can't hear us at all?
No.
Is the volume turned up on your machine? Because we've got other people on the call that can hear it.
Okay. Yeah, because my speakers are on full blast. Let me change it to use a headphone to see if I can get you.
The problem is that being able to see him, he's officially in the meeting, but I mean, maybe it would be better if he went black screen and then we would say he's not in the meeting and we could proceed. It's another option. Now, Councillor Masika has left the meeting temporarily only, we hope. I'll just have that vote again, those confirming the minutes of the last meeting. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. We'll go on. Elected member verbal communications are permitted in this meeting. Did anyone have anything they wanted to report? Sahol?
Mr. Mayor, as you know, last night the Oaklands Estate Residents Association had their AGM. Obviously, there's an election on, so there was a number of federal candidates there, but which was important for me to raise the issue that I did in that forum. This council actually indicated recently it's one of the items that they would like the council to lobby for as an advocacy venture for the federal election. And I asked the question about the report that was funded by at the last federal election for the Marion Road, Crossroad, Tramway, and Anzac Highway intersections. The Minister indicated the report was available and has been available for some time, and indicated that he wasn't prepared to share that with us, and really downplayed the whole issue, trying to direct the meeting's attention to what he's doing on South Road. But the reality is, Mr. Mayor, the people in that area and even perhaps this area will not probably use the tunnel to go into the city. If you're down in Parkholme, you're not going to go all the way up to Tonsley to get onto the tunnel. You're going to go back down to Anzac Highway. So the tunnel is of little benefit for our people commuting to the city, and that intersection is going to remain a problem. So I just thought I'd let the council know that that was raised again, and obviously we'll be raising that as an agency with the federal candidates as we go towards the next federal election.
Thank you, Councillor. And I think the last I'd heard of that was probably a few months ago when we queried by email the progress or otherwise in relation to that study. And our staff, I think, had heard from Department of Transport that there was no imminent action forthcoming, to summarise it, and nothing has progressed from there. So thanks for the update, Councillor Hull. Any other verbal reports? Then we'll just proceed. I can hear something.
No, it's me, Chris. I managed to log in.
Councillor Masika is seeking to join the meeting. Can staff provide assistance, please?
Recording in progress.
So just doing a sound check. Councillor Masika, can you hear the meeting? Can you hear the Mayor speaking?
Yes, Your Worship, now I can hear.
Right, so we were just doing elected member verbal reports, in case you had one.
Nothing to report, Your Worship.
Very well, so I'm just after someone to move that the reports, including the written reports, be received. Move Councillor Schilling, seconded Councillor Duncan. All those in favour, carried unanimously, thank you. So we go to committee recommendations. They could be taken on block, although there may well be some discussion arising out of that, but someone like to move them on block at least. Councillor Hutchinson, seconded Councillor Telfer. Before we proceed further, did anyone have any questions arising out of those minutes? What I particularly wanted to mention was in relation to the Finance and Audit Committee. They did their biennial survey of how they're performing. And if you looked at the responses, you would say, well, we actually need to re-examine that committee, what it does and how. And yet we get those minutes and then it just stops there. It's sort of the end of the line. So I'm after staff to advise, what do we do in, you know, to consider those, you know, the material in the minutes? Well, in particular, where the audit committee answered a survey about operations.
Yeah. Through the chair, the Finance and Audit Committee terms of reference are actually due for review. There is a number of alterations that need to be made as a result of the Local Government Act reforms. What we have done is the whole reason why we did the review at this point is so we can pull the review, the reform items and the feedback from the performance review into the review of the terms of reference, which is due to come to council in the next month or so.
And just as a bit of feedback, it is on page 52 of our agenda, I believe. There is reference there to the survey. Basically, I tend not to do surveys if you have to specify exactly who you are. because of the range of people that get to see the responses, and it's not necessarily conducive to a frank survey response. So there might have been others who felt the same way. And I say that in light of the comment that the survey responses were low in numbers. But that's, you know, staff get to choose how they do that, I guess. All right, on to the... We've had those moved and seconded. I'll put that to the vote. All those in favour of accepting those minutes, that's raise your hands. Yes, carried unanimously. Thank you. So on page 58, the annual financial statements. First, take any questions. There being none. Could this be taken in conjunction with the City of Marion annual report, which after all replicates a lot of the information? And dare I say, the Finance and Audit Committee annual report and possibly the first budget review, they could be taken on block if members wish, but obviously will allow us plenty of scope for questions. Councillor Hull?
Just a question, just to be sure. There's two councillors and there's staff involved with the Southern Region Waste Resource Authority. Is there any need for us to declare any interest in that?
Thank you. That's a very good question, Councillor Hull. I'll ask Governance Manager, Ms. McKenzie.
Through the chair, I don't believe so. I mean, this is just accepting their annual report, which forms part of ours. I don't think we've ever declared a conflict of interest before. So,
the point is that the decision doesn't refer to any particular benefit or who gets the benefit. So, I guess that's the answer. Would someone like to move those four items on block? Councillor Telfer, seconded Councillor Hutchinson. But I do, you know, there's plenty of scope for questions if people wish. Obviously, in general terms, we're in a very sound financial position with low debt, and yet we're able to have a very substantial capital expenditure program. I note the Audit Committee, Finance and Audit Committee, being desirous of greater returns on our money at bank. Perhaps that's one question I could ask Mr. Barnwell, who's here, our Chief Financial Officer. Are we overly constrained by our Treasury policy in how we invest and get returns on our saved funds?
Through the Chair, we're probably not overly constrained by our Treasury policy, but we are constrained quite somewhat from the legislation as to what we can and can't invest in. That's probably the issue.
Does our policy reflect the outer limit of what the legislation allows?
Yeah, I think it does. And we can certainly have a look at that as we review next year as well.
Well, thank you for that. Very well. The report is there for all to see, and it is overall an impressive performance. So without any further discussion then, I'll put the motion in relation to those four items, including the Finance and Audit Committee's comments on the state of our affairs. All those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go on to the coastal walkway. If staff could just give me a page reference, I might have it here. Page 282 I've got, but I know that there was a late change in page numbering. Members will find it page 282, 283, somewhere around there. This obviously has been, well, it's a challenging issue to deal with because the expert advice on the one hand indicates the virtues of a bridge. On the other hand, it's fair to say the community feedback is against the proposal, the concept. So tonight's the night for decision. As I normally do, I go to the ward members in a case like this. So I'll look to Councillor Hutchinson to move as he wishes. Oh, Councillor Crossland. Oh, hang on, better put the glasses. Oh, Councillor Crossland. Yes, thank you. Yes.
Thank you, Worship. I am going to move as printed. The overwhelming majority of people that I speak to, and I'm sure other Southern Ward councillors have the same, is that they want this footpath open as quickly as possible. And I've had ongoing requests to make the path as accessible as possible. And I have ongoing complaints from a local residents group that we're not making certain sections more accessible, and certain people are falling over or having injury. So that's my main focus, to deliver this open coastal walking trail as quickly as possible and make it accessible as possible. There has been a lot of feedback, and a lot of the people who are dissatisfied are highlighting issues which I don't believe are factors in this decision tonight. I think we've had the initial community concept plan consultation. The next stage is to look at an actual design of the bridges and ensure that they are a better option, they can be delivered quicker, and they're not going to give us ongoing problems in the future. And the way that this resolution is worded, it does exactly that, that we will get those construction drawings and we will get those things examined. I think also I thank staff for quite a comprehensive report, particularly the area where it answers a lot of the community concerns. And I think hopefully that will make this decision, when people read it, a lot clearer.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan, did you wish to speak?
I've also had a lot of people asking me about when are we going to do it and what are your solutions. And I think this is a great solution. It's great for the environment, and it was make it easier for a lot of people to actually manoeuvre the whole way along the coastal walkway.
I know I had a couple of questions, and it might be a useful item where staff could come up and answer questions. So we've got Dr. Grimm and Mr. Cortez. The first question I wanted to put to the gentleman is the relative cost, at least in very round figures, of the bridge proposal, bearing in mind we've got two gullies that we're talking about, compared to some sort of recreation of the steps around the contours of the gullies as was previously established. Can we just highlight that in round figures, please?
Through the chair, the estimate of costs for the bridge structures is $4 million, as opposed to the alternative of like-for-like replacement alignment of a boardwalk deck of $5.3 million.
Thank you. And in terms of what could be, if we decided one option or the other tonight, what could be, what would be the relativity in terms of timeframes of one or other option?
The approximate variance in time would be 6 months for the alternative option, which is the boardwalk and step as per existing alignment. And the, I guess for a bridge construction, it would be approximately from January to July 2022.
So possibly slightly longer. For the bridge?
Incorrect. No, it would be a shorter time frame for the bridge structures, 6 months shorter.
Oh, I see. So the 6 months wasn't the total for the boardwalk. It would be 6 months longer than expected for the bridge, is what you're saying?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, thank you. And in terms of environmental impact, can you just highlight your assessment of the difference between the two options, please?
Evaluations have been undertaken in regards to flora and fauna assessments. It is expected that there'd be less impact on the surface with regards to a bridge structure. There's less excavation requirements in terms of pier structures and associated works to that.
A number of the community members have cited safety concerns. What's the assessment, Dr. Grimm, of relative safety between the two options, the bridge or the steps?
Bridge structures would be evaluated with regards to standards compliance with balustrade height of 1.4 metres, and through detailed design there'd be consideration of whether it needs to be fully enclosed with a netted structure. the alternative, obviously, with the boardwalk has a similar sort of aesthetic, I suppose, with regards to balustrade heights. So would have limited effects on safety and concerns there.
Excuse me, members, for hogging the chair, but I'm just trying to quickly get through some of the concerns that were raised by the community. In relation to safety, there has been a view that it's a very windy place. We know that in common experience. I mean, we're not talking about hurricanes, but it is a very windy spot. Does that have any impact on the choice in relation to a bridge?
Through the chair, it doesn't. Obviously, the cable bridge option will be designed to Australian standards, ensuring that it meets the appropriate wind associated conditions, load conditions as well. From preliminary investigations, we know that the bridge will likely be designed to 5 kPa, which is essentially 500 kilos per square metre. So that's the crowd capacity is, I think, what they call it in terms of the design engineering to it. So very sound, very rigid, and obviously can withstand the coastal environment.
All right, thank you. Members, throw it over to any other questions. Councillor Schilling.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just with regards to not having access to the beach, several residents have raised concerns about that. Is there any option to keep access there?
Through the chair, through the design process, we've obviously identified that there is some risks associated with maintaining the stair structures to the beach. And that's come on the back of a number of reports in terms of rock falls and I guess the environmental sensitivities in relation to that, that site. The report talks about the potential to explore further options south of Coonabinna Gully. Mm-hmm. I've met recently with a couple of residents on site where they were able to obviously explain some situations in terms of what people's movements are and what people are doing. So I think to answer the question is we've got the potential to create a safer access path at segment 7, which is obviously south of Coonabinna Gully, near the Fryer Street Reserve. In terms of distance from the existing stairs, it's around about 170 metres.
Another question, sorry.
Yes.
Yep. With regards to, so tonight we're endorsing that we go to sort of final design, more detailed design. Will that come back in the report in December 2021? It's no real clear answer, just as a further report. So,
yeah. Through the chair, I would imagine that we would incorporate that as part of the final report coming back to you guys in December.
And the last question is, do we need to consult on the final design?
Through the chair, we would obviously inform the community of the final design, subject to obviously the resolution tonight.
In terms of our consultation policy, I would suggest that the concept needs to be the subject of consultation, which we've done. The consultation needs to be considered, even though it doesn't dictate a solution. But once the concept is adopted, then how the bridge is built becomes an operational matter, which be more the subject of informing the community rather than consultation as such. But there might be interested parties who offer ideas along the way, and clearly Mr. Cortez is willing to meet with local community, etc. Councillor Vlescu.
Just in regards to the wind, so what happens if there's people on the bridge and it's really windy? And obviously, you know, they're stuck there because they've got to get back, not because they're choosing to go there. What's the difference as far as danger goes?
As I referenced through the chair, as I referenced previously, the design parameters and design intent is meeting those that requirement. I guess that can be explored in terms of looking at those potential modelling, but I guess the width of the bridge would be so that obviously there's movement and we don't have that much congestion.
Now it's Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, the only issue that I have with this is the uncertainty, and it's already been alluded to, with the design. Sorry,
just to clarify, is this a question for staff or contribution in the debate?
Yeah, I'd like to know whether we do have another opportunity to look at the design of this bridge, whether we can make the bridge profile and make it less obtrusive and in sympathy with the landscape. Is that a possibility that we can do that?
Mr. Cortez.
Through the chair, absolutely. We have the option in terms of looking at the overall footprint of the bridge. In the report, we talk about the maximum span of around 45 to 50 metres. We heard through the community feedback in terms of the sensitivity around the vista. We've provided some illustrations and attachments to be able to explain the vertical displacement or vertical difference between those finished floor levels of properties. So we can very much alter the design to meet the needs of the community.
Just a supplementary to that.
Yes, go on.
How do we embed that in this recommendation that the staff will indeed follow through with what was just told to us?
Is there some phrase, Dr. Grimm or Mr. Cortez, that we could add to give some level of comfort, such as where we reference to the... Well, actually, it already says completion, endorsing the concept for completion of detailed designs with consideration of community feedback. So I think that's what Councillor Hull was suggesting.
It just seems a bit vague for me, Mr. Mayor. It doesn't actually look like it's got teeth or, you know, it's not clear.
Then, Councillor Hull, I think I'll leave it for you to move an amendment if you wish. You just need to clarify the wording. Now, it is out of order, Councillor Crossland's spoken, but I'll allow a quick question, a factual question, thanks.
Just a question to clarify from some of the previous questions. If we remove the beach access, how many other beach accesses are still available in that near and how close?
Through the chair, there's alternative beach access north and south of that location at an approximate distance, I think, of around 1.2 kilometres, 1.4 possibly, yeah, approximately.
All right, let's proceed with the debate. We've had a move and seconder. Anyone speaking against? Then Councillor Hull.
I wish I'd had a chance to formulate that amendment, but basically after community feedback and point two, that the council administration ensures that this construction has due regard for the topography and to make the bridge structures less obtrusive in keeping with the landscape.
Do staff been able to take that down accordingly?
And that's if the mover and seconder don't want to take that on board with the leave of the meeting.
My interpretation is that exactly what the report says is what staff will be doing exactly.
All right, so we'll treat it as an amendment, but we just need to make sure that, Councillor, can you make sure that it's typed up on the screen for people in the room to see? Up to you, Councillor Hull. Make sure you're happy with what's been written up on the screen.
Yeah, Mr. Mayor, there's a technical problem here. That it was going along swimmingly, and then we lost the screen. So
make sure that the relevant part of the screen is visible to elected members, please. Can you see that, Councillor Hull?
I'm sure I mentioned being less obtrusive in there, if that can be put in.
You tell us where you want it put in, please.
And to make the bridges less obtrusive and in keeping with the landscape, that'll do. Yeah, so moved, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, and you may speak to it.
Yeah. Look, even with this amendment, something tells me residents that have been, a number of the residents that has been complaining may not be even happy with this amendment. But I feel that we have an opportunity to actually make this gesture. I can sense in the room that the bridges have support. But how about, even if it costs a bit more, make these bridges as sympathetic with the landscape as possible. It's quite a special piece of landscape down there, Mr. Mayor, with lots of natural vegetation. If we can make these bridges more pleasing to the eye and not as confronting as what those residents saw in the Sunday Mail, and for that matter in this report, I think that would hold the council in good stead. So I'd like to test that, Mr. Mayor.
Is the amendment seconded? Final call for any seconder to the amendment. There being no seconder, the amendment lapses and we're left with the debate. If anyone wishes to speak further, we have a mover and seconder. No further speakers to debate, then I'll simply put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously. Thank you. And thank you, Mr. Cortez and Dr. Grimm, for answering those questions.
Your Worship, could I just ask
Councillor Schilling
a question before we move on? Can we get an explanation from staff what these screens actually, because ours don't work and I've been told that they're just for show tonight for us to get a size. We're all getting different messages. Can we get an explanation, please?
Is it something we could take up after the meeting?
No, I think there's a few bit of confusion around the chamber as to what they're actually
for. All right,
for.
So for those who only have audio, we've got some new large screens sitting between all of the members, and Ms. Dinsmore can explain what the intent is.
The intent is that we will have six screens and separate knobs, right?
The intent is that we will have six screens for two on either side, and we wanted to show you the size because we couldn't settle whether to get 55-inch or 65-inch TV. So if you could maybe let us know whether you prefer the bigger ones or the smaller ones, that would be great. And sorry, it was just a demo tonight. They're not working because we need to do a bit of wiring and some cabling and some other things, and we didn't have time. We just built the stands. So they're just for demo purposes. Please don't take them as this is not the final product. That's why they're not quite working.
Just for demonstration purposes. All right. So further discussion can be had outside the meeting, perhaps. On to page 433 of the agenda, Edwardstown Soldiers Memorial Recreation Ground Management Model. I'll start off, any questions? Certainly gives us the current state of play. Footy, I'll just ask a very much up to the minute question because as of very recently, the football club hadn't signed their lease. Are they still prevaricating? Ms. Vialtinetti.
Thank you for the question. And I can confirm at this point in time, Football Club have not signed their lease.
The Bowls Club have. I've heard some anecdotal feedback that they're relatively happy. The Cricket Club are paying a lot more under the current arrangements than they used to, which is unfortunate, but they'll make the best of the situation. And I haven't had contact with the cycling clubs at this stage, but Councillor Hull, question?
Given that the football club hasn't signed the lease, I'm just wondering what's the lie of the land going forward? What's the prospect for that club if they don't sign the lease? Is there any timelines they need to meet? And if they don't meet timelines, what are the consequences?
Ms. Vialtonetti.
Thank you for the question. In terms of the football club, they are currently out of season, so their traditional lease and their current lease would end on the 30th of September. Actually, 30th of September. So when they start their new season, which is at the March, that's when their new lease will actually commence. So there is, whilst they haven't accepted and returned the lease, they are not utilising the facility during the off-season period.
So two things. One is that there is an element of leverage in the equation in the sense that the football club are due to back pay of money of receipts when they do sign the lease under the previous arrangement, which one would think would encourage them. And secondly, I suppose to hone in on Councillor Hull's question, what happens if their lease isn't signed by the start of football season March next year?
Thank you for the question. We hope that's not the case, but if they do not sign the lease, we've still got a current agreement that obviously they need to surrender. So we would need to work through that agreement, but I understand that the football club intention is to sign the agreement. They're just working through with their lawyers some of the elements of the agreement and will get back to us as soon as they can.
Thank you, Councillor Schilling.
You've kind of just answered the question, but I just want to clarify that. The only reason they haven't signed the lease currently is because they're still working through it. There's no other reasons with regards to usage or et cetera, et cetera.
Ms. Vialtonetti.
Thank you for the question. We've worked quite extensively with all the clubs, including Edwardstown Football Club, and have had many, many meetings with all of them. And our understanding with the football club is that their intention is to sign the lease. They're just working through the details with their solicitors at the moment.
If there are no other questions, Councillor Masika, would you like to move the motion? It is simply to note the report.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship, for giving me the opportunity. I'd like to move the motion as it printed in one reason. I've spoken to bowling club, cycling club, and also with the cricket. They are quite very happy with the current arrangement, and they've signed up for the new agreement. The football hasn't refused to sign, but they're working on those small items, which they need to get more clarification through their lawyers. But I know it's off-season now, they'll be back. And in view of that, I know when the season started, they'll be back on board. So at the moment, I would like to move to note the report until such a time when that football club comes on board, the other club can enjoy whatever they've signed for.
Is that seconded? Councillor Velescu? Another question, Councillor Hull?
A question to the staff. Did any of the other clubs have lawyers involved in helping them formulate their response to the lease? And is this an unusual situation to have lawyers involved? I guess the third question is, who's paying for those lawyers for that club? The lawyers don't come cheap, as we know.
Ms. Vialtonetti.
Thank you for the question. I'm not aware that the other clubs have utilised lawyers, but I understand there has been reference that the clubs have in-house expertise in that field with the bowls. In terms of the football club, the lawyers is not something that council is funding in terms of the fees to review. So that's an arrangement that the club have made with the lawyers. So I can't comment on the cost involved in that for them.
Councillor Hull, last go.
Yes. So the question is, is it unusual for lawyers to be involved in, like, I've seen lots of leases come and go. I find it unusual that lawyers are involved. And if lawyers are involved, What would actually motivate the club to go to that length and expense?
I'm going to rule that question out of order because that's a question that only the club can answer. So, Councillor Hull, I invite you to make your inquiries off the club. It's not a staff matter as to why any of our tenants might seek legal advice. I'm aware of others that have in the past, but it's up to them why they do so and the extent they do so.
To be fair, Mr. Mayor.
Order. I've ruled the question out of order, unless you wish to dissent from the chair. The only other one I had was that this report talks about management of the place and it talks about the sports clubs, but where it's a bit thin, not completely, but a bit thin is in terms of council's responsibility to make the place active the rest of the time. I think that's something that councillors want to know. It's not in this report. So how does that come back to council? Maybe that's a matter for a forum in the first half of next year, not necessarily a formal council report. Perhaps Ms. McKenzie, you can take that on board. Mr. Haridas would like to speak to that.
Thank you for the question and back through the chair. We'll also be reporting, just as a reminder to the rest of the chamber, on utilisation rates for our venues. And this won't be precluded. So we are capturing data on the utilisation of the remaining time and we'll be bringing that back to council as a collective report across the board.
Okay, thank you. So it's been moved and seconded. If there's no further discussion, all those in favour, raise your hand. That's carried unanimously. Thank you. On to page 439 or thereabouts, Marion Cultural Centre Plaza. We've got the community consultation back. And the real question before us, since we've already gone down the track of favouring a concept of improvement on the plaza, the real question is whether to go with what is described as option one or option two, one-way traffic on Warakawi Way or two-way traffic on Warakawi Way, or to resolve this in some other way. So, over to you, councillors. Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, okay. I'd like us to send this to the Assets and Sustainability Committee, thank you, just for future review. There's a whole heap of new information in here, members, and I think it probably is a little beyond this forum to digest at all. I wouldn't mind taking apart the community consultation a little bit more with staff in that meeting as well. Probably need a more holistic solution to that whole area. We've had some complaints about some areas which are close to, but perhaps not in the direct vicinity. So I think the first asset and sustainability is in February, Ms. McKenzie. Next week might be a little too sharp. We've got a pretty full agenda for next week, Councillor Schilling.
Yeah.
First available would be good.
We should speak further to that motion.
No, I think I've pretty much covered it at the moment.
Is that seconded? Councillor Hull.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Pryor and I have discussed this and we...
So just confirming you're seconding the motion and then you're speaking. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Oh, thank you. And please proceed.
Yeah. I think this needs a bit of rigour to our decision-making. Councillor Pryor's picked up on a number of things, but one thing that was brought to my attention last night at the meeting with the residents down in Oakland's estate, I'll name her, Mrs. Hill, Fred Hill's wife, brought to my attention that she's concerned how residents might get to our library. If we close this road off, the entry into the plaza, it means that essentially our residents have actually got to enter the car park by crossing Westfield Lane. And if they bring in paid car parking, we're in a bit of a bind there. Because even as I pointed out to Councillor Crosland today, the road off Diagonal Road, you'd have to go up and then come back down to turn left into the car park. 50% of that driveway is on Westfield land. And that worries me greatly about this proposal. And it's something we need to, it's all very well to close off roads, and we, and that road ultimately would be closed through to Bunnings. But we've got our own assets to make sure we've got access to. The other thing, Mr. Mayor, in any future report of this council, I want to see that letter from Westfield in writing. I don't want to see a mention of it. I want to see it. I want to see it down on black and white that Westfield have actually agreed they will be closing off that road. I think that's only fair for our decision making, to be sure that that's what they have agreed on. For years, it's been to and fro about what their decisions are. We've told it it's in writing. I want to see it. I want to see it in our report.
Time is up, but just to clarify the point about Westfield's position, what is clear is that closure of that access point is in their development proposal, which has been approved. As far as I'm aware, there have been development proposals for that site which have been previously put forward but not actually proceeded with. There's no evidence to suggest that there's a departure from the proposal which has been approved, but neither has there been a contractual commitment of which council is aware that the proposal will actually proceed. It is an approved plan, nothing more or less. So I just want to clarify that. I realise there's a reference to it in the report, and I hear what you're saying, Councillor Hull. Staff can take it on board that you want to see source documents, so to speak, rather than reports. I guess that's always going to be a balancing act or discretion for staff as to how much they put into these reports. And of course, it's always something that you can pursue before the actual council meeting. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, thank you for that. But I'll also draw your attention, there's two processes at work here. There's one of the development application that they've actually got approval for. And you make a very good point the other day in an email to us, that it's been years in the making, this redevelopment of Westfield. It could take more years.
Sorry, your time, your speaking time of the debate has expired. So we must move on. It's been moved and seconded. Councillor Schilling.
I want to have a question with regards to car park. My understanding is that car park outside the Marion Cultural Centre is our car park, correct?
At the southern side of the Marion Cultural Centre, yes. Councillor Hull's referring to the driveway into that car park, I believe. Could I have staff clarify where the boundary lies in relation to the roadway adjacent to that car park, please? Dr. Grimm.
Through the chair, the boundary of the property boundary is actually divided between the egress and access lanes that exit or off Diagonal Road. And there's a right of way for both parties in regards to access and egress, Manning Centre Group and City of Marion.
So if there's a right of way, does that mean that Westfield cannot put boom gates on that driveway?
That's correct. They can't, but they can on their land, which is obviously further to the west.
Yeah, so they could put boom gates further, but they couldn't block access at that driveway to our car park from Diagonal Road.
That is correct.
Thank you.
Councillor Valescu, is that a question?
Yeah, it is. What's happening with the green space? Because I recall that that was something that was potentially going to be part of this whole complex. And I think it was raised in an email this week. Can we have an update on that? Is that likely or are they just teasing?
Dr. Grimm.
Through the chair, the Office of Rec and Sport have developed a concept plan which looks to renewal and regeneration of their facility. That's currently sitting with the Minister and going to Cabinet for funding and feasibility assessment. So it's not publicly disseminated at present.
Councillor Telford.
Sorry,
What does that mean as far as the green space goes?
So, well, it sounds like there's been no decision made on it from the state government point of view. I don't know that we can take it further than that. Councillor Telford.
So my question, what opportunity do we have to permit view and access to that green space?
We will continue discussions with the Office of Records and Sport as to when they provide reference to the next steps of their proposal, as to whether there is opportunity to have the open green space as part of a broader precinct, but subject to obviously their ministerial and cabinetry feasibility studies.
The outcome of that obviously has an enormous impact on the amenity of the plaza, whether it's whether it has a lovely patch of green lawn to the northern aspect or whether it's looking into a big fence. Councillor Bilescu.
We know if they're looking to do any sort of outdoor water activity there to increase patronage and revenue. Had there been any mentions of that with any discussions?
Yeah. Dr. Grimm, any clarification on the aquatic centre plans?
At present, there isn't any an intent for external water play, as you sort of comment. So no, there isn't that sort of facility at present.
It's been moved and seconded to refer it to the Asset Sustainability Committee. Any further discussion? Then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. All right, we'll put that off. That is carried. We'll put that off for further discussion. And I beg your pardon. Those against, please raise your hand. Thank you. That was carried by majority. Can that be clarified, please? Page 505 or thereabouts, proposed community engagement charter. So this is the one put forward by the Local Government Association. And we're just providing some feedback. Seems all right. Anyone? Councillor Hutchinson moving, seconded Councillor Telfer. Any further discussion? All those in favour, raise your hand. That is carried unanimously. Thank you. Now we go to page 526. Some options in relation to the BMX celebrations and in a sense enlisting the Oz Cycling Organisation to organise a substantial part of it, I suppose, as a funding partner, you could say. Councillor Schilling.
I'm happy to move as printed.
Thank you. You wish to speak further?
No, I think it's pretty self-explanatory.
Is that seconded? Councillor Duncan? Nothing further? Then anyone against? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Carried unanimously. Thank you. We go to the Oaklands Education Centre review. Funny one, this one. It's not exactly our core business, but it's seen as an asset in addition to the wetlands. Councillor Hull.
Mr. Mayor, happy to move that motion.
Just clarify, staff have presented two options for us.
Oh, yeah. Let me go to it.
Page 538.
The second one is not to continue. The first one is to continue.
So, yes. Which one are you?
Page number for that?
538. Which one are you favouring, Councillor Hull?
Continuing, Mr. Mayor.
All right, so that's option one. So, yeah. Yes, would you like to speak to that?
Yes, I think that this facility has demonstrated itself. We have financial commitment, as I remember from the university in the report. COVID obviously has impacted on the use of this site, as it has with a lot of things. And I think it's got more potential for community use, Mr. Mayor. You may have heard last night the Oaklands Estate Residents Association squeezed itself into quite a small church because they were struggling to find a venue. It could have been that they could have held it there, for example. It could be used for a lot more community use. And I think it showcases our wonderful wetland. It provides education opportunities for those who want to take an interest in the wetland. And I think it's premature at this time to actually have cessation to that community asset.
But a question from Councillor Crossland.
Thank you. What I'd like to ask is, it's not clear how many other people use it. Flinders University is ostensibly a business, and they seem to be the main beneficiary of the money we're putting in. Is any member of staff able just to assist with what other community groups use these facilities and what is the benefit to our residents?
Mr. Ricketts will help with that.
Through the chair. Yes, it's roughly 40% used by Flinders University and 60% community. Of those groups, it varies between, I think recently we had RSPCA, we've had community groups from schools, we've had, it's quite varied. I have got a full breakdown of individual visitors and individual entities. I'm happy to provide this council.
I mean, basically, it's a Flinders University project, isn't it? And we're paying to help them. Is that fair or not?
Through the chair, I would say it's a 50-50 partnership. Before COVID, we'd really promoted and marketed it. And if we endorse this, take it through to December 23, I think it's incumbent upon us to really promote and market it again and get that utilization rates up. So we do get a joint benefit from the facility.
Councillor Crossland, anything flowing from that?
Follow-up question. Look, I am in support, but I'd like to see or ask the question, is there any opportunity of making this a self-funded facility where 50% can be funded by the uni because they're getting a business benefit and the rest is through charging hirers, and then it can have some longevity rather than keep coming to council every 2 years for handouts.
Mr. Ricketts, any thoughts? Do you know, for example, if there are higher fees for the schools when they take a tour there?
Through the chair, currently it's a free facility. We are proposing to put this facility into the wider community sort of buildings asset strategy that's being investigated between now and December 23, where we will look to investigate options such as charge out rates and also other funding sources. SA Water have expressed an interest in funding the facility. So maybe we can bring back 25% fundings from a third party, not just the two partnerships.
Well, these are all very good things to explore before we get a report like this, I expect. But anyways, that's seconded. A motion to continue, Councillor Pryor, thank you.
Yeah, I'm happy to second this. I think that it is a part of what we can do as a council, these sorts of joint ventures. And I mean, Flinders obviously provides some benefit to us in there, some of the education. I'm happy to support this.
Anyone speaking against? Then I put the motion. All those in favour, raise your hand. Carried unanimously, thank you. So we move on to page 542. We've got a draft submission to the EPA discussion paper on the container deposit scheme, significantly proposing to include wine bottles. There was one question raised, and the submission paper makes a fairly gentle reference to the fact that I'm not sure that people in the community want four bins, and it certainly creates some practical difficulties in many residences around the place, apartments, infill streets and the like. But it is all in there in one shape or form. So I'll leave it to you, members. Councillor Crossland.
Yeah, I'd like to move as printed. I'm not keen on the four bin option, and We did write to the minister requesting this type of expansion of the scheme. So, yeah, I'm happy to support it.
Thank you. Seconded, Councillor Pryor.
Yeah, I agree with Councillor Crossland. I mean, this sort of expansion for us is where expansion to waste is a good thing.
Anyone speaking against? A question, Councillor Hall?
Apart from the suggestion of a full bin, is it not the case that the container retrieval or deposit depot on, say, Sturt Road or Oaklands Road will actually be the likely place where people will take these like they do now with their aluminium cans and drink bottles?
Do we have a staff member who can speak to that, please? So it might be Mr. Lyons. Thank you.
Through the chair, two answers there. That's correct. That is a good assumption. And I'll just highlight that if there are any other technical questions, we do have Ms. Alison Byrne online and she can be brought on as well.
Well, happy with that response, Councillor Hull. Thank you. Councillor Bleskew had a question, maybe?
Look, I just wanted to comment. I think it's excellent. The more we do, the better. And having recently visited the Dawes Road, Oaklands Road facility, it actually uses Sage automation. That's what they use to actually work out what the bottles are. So yes. It's actually good for the local industry and the local company. So
yes. So you're also supporting the motion. All right. I'll put no one speaking against. Put the motion. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you very much. Page 641, the Flinders Greenway alignment. Just one point I'll highlight there that there have been repeated requests to try and get a pedestrian access across the railway line, somewhere between the Northern Tonsley area and our Mitchell Park sports field. It's not going to happen. It just seems so definite. So giving up on that, you've got a map there of a likely alignment. And I know Councillor Telfer and I have been out on site and seems to be quite a good way to go about it. Over to you, Councillor Telfer.
I'll move as per the recommendation. This is not ideal, but in the scheme of things, this is the way to connect because there's a natural connection over Dawes Road and it comes along, obviously, through Tonsley. We need to connect through. So we look forward to this being done.
Seconded, Councillor Hutchinson. Thanks for your support. Anyone speaking against? And I'll put the motion. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you. Over to the annual investment report. We've already heard Mr. Barnwell say tonight that we're doing the best we can within the legislative constraints that under which local government operates. We could probably move on block the investment report, the finance report, the health and safety report, and the question, or maybe just those three, they're all linked in one way or another. Councillor Schilling moved, Councillor Telfer seconded. Certainly want to give members the opportunity to ask a question on any of those reports if they wish. If not, then I'll put the motion. All those in favour, carried unanimously. Thank you, members. So we go on to the questions on notice register. Anything arising from that, then simply need someone to move that the report be noted. Councillor Bleskew, seconded, Councillor Pryor. All those in favour, raise your hand. Thank you. That's carried unanimously. I note that there was a deputation from a Hallett Cove resident that was declined because, as it was put to me, it's explained there that the objections were very well covered in our extensive public report, which conveys all of the reasons put forward by the various members of the community. So the mayor wasn't persuaded that it would add to our deliberations tonight. And now we have two confidential items remaining. It is, we'll just clarify that. are some confidential minutes. So if we could have someone move on block the confidentiality provisions to cover those items. Councillor Bilescu, seconded Councillor Masika. All those in favour? That's carried unanimously. Thank you. Now, the order in which we do these might vary a little. I can tell members, I think that there's a deputation. So we have the operator of the MCC Cafe coming to speak to us. It would therefore make sense to deal with the other matters first. So if I have leave to vary the order of business, we could go to page 680 and we start dealing with confidential reports of committees. So at this point, given our technology, do we close the public meeting? Oh, sorry, did we have that passed, the confidentiality? I think we did, yes. So we're ready to close the public meeting and then we reopen a confidential meeting, and Ms. McKenzie will allow certain people in on the meeting, both online and in the room.